My name is J.C. Hogan. Have a nickname that's Jack, known better as Jack. I'm going to tell you about a few things that has happened in Corpus Christi after the time that I came to Corpus Christi when I was 7 years old in 1921. This was in December of 1921. I remember distinctly that we came in by train from Victoria, Texas. Corpus Christi had some paved streets in the downtown section, and out on South Staples to Morgan Avenue, and that is that was the end of the pavements at that time. Corpus Christi had a very small population for the simple reason that almost everyone had left Corpus Christi after the 1919 hurricane, and there was only a few families left. The population at that time was approximately 2,500. Ben D. Lee was the sheriff of Nueces County at that time. But in 1921, when I came here with my family, Corpus Christi was on a boom to repair the storm damage from the 1919 hurricane. The shopping center that existed at that time was a few buildings on Chaparral Street from the 400 block to the 600 block, and a few stores on Mesquite Street in about the same block area. There was a little settlement on Leopard Street, mostly Latins. North Beach at one time had been the best part of the residential district in Corpus Christi. But when the 1919 storm came through, it wiped out everything on North Beach except one old building that was later known as the Baker's Hotel. At the time of the storm, it was a veterans hospital. But it sat vacant for years and years before it was ever refurbished and made into a hotel. To get to North Beach, you had to cross a low water crossing and drive through salt water to get to North Beach at all. So, when I say there was very few paved streets here, that was probably the reason why. The population had been much greater, but due to the storm, most people had left. From 1921 on through the years until 1930, Corpus Christi had quite a boom time going for it, because we were depending primarily on farming and ranching as income for this part of the country. At that time, there was quite a few vegetable farmers. They grew cotton, corn, and vegetables. So, as a young fellow, I remember being around the vegetable sheds when they were packing and shipping vegetables. Now, at this time, I suppose it would be difficult to find the packing shed where they even crate vegetables in Corpus Christi. The Depression years began in Corpus Christi in about 1931. It was the first time that I really knew that we were supposed to have a depression. But then bear in mind, I was only about 17 years old at that time. So my father and my mother probably taking care of a lot of my needs that I didn't even know about. But during this time, we had quite a number of business failures. Banks were closing up all over the country. Corpus Christi was very fortunate. We had very few banks that closed until the Roosevelt administration came in and they had what we remember as a bank holiday. They closed all of the banks, and this was the end of the economy for Nueces County and Corpus Christi, because you were only allowed to draw out some $5 a week for living expenses. Living expenses at that time was very cheap. You could walk in a cafe and eat a full dinner for 35 cents. So you see, $5 was quite a bit of money to have at one time during those days. My father was a carpenter, and he worked quite regularly. He was a high-paid mechanic, and his income was roughly $5 a day when he worked. So you see, $5 would buy a lot of groceries. We really didn't have too many problems at that time. I believe I remember the haircuts at that time was 35 cents. Shave 15 cents. Of course, I didn't get shaves and not very many haircuts. 1931 was the first time that we knew that we had a depression, and it was a very sharp depression for Nueces County because we were fortunate. We found the Soxit oil field in Corpus Christi, which was right on the edge of the city limits. So again, we had a boom during the depression or difficult times. But carried us on through until the Roosevelt administration started the government programs that began about 1934. It might have been a little earlier, but I believe that it was in 1934. When they were in full progress. So money was always a small problem if you didn't mind working for it, long hours for short pay. I know when I was growing up in 1931, which I was 17 years old, you could go out to the vegetable sheds. You could make crates for lettuce and different foods of this kind that they crated. You nailed the slats together and made a crate out of them for 10 cents a piece. And some people made good money at this. You know, like $2.50, $3 a day. Another industry that we had here at that time was preparing shrimp for seafood. And preparing shrimp for seafood, the shrimp was headed and cooked and then peeled. They had containers that was a quart container, and you could get 10 cents a quart for heading and peeling these shrimp for processing into seafood. So again, anybody that wanted to work could make $2.50 to $3 a day. on through these times very nicely, and because we could take care of our immediate needs. I've met my wife and married her in 1936. And I found out that we really had a depression because I had responsibilities that I had never faced before. So we both worked and we managed to acquire enough money to buy a very small house that it was actually what we call a shotgun house. It was 12 by 20, a bedroom, kitchen, and a breakfast area with a bath. This investment represented about $750. The type of financing then was available only through banks or people that would lend money. We made our first mortgage to buy this material to build this house from an individual that was operating a lumber yard, and it had taken some 5 to 7 years to retire this first mortgage that we made. My wife and I worked, I as a salesman and she worked as a waitress, and she made pies for the company that she worked for, which was the first time that Leslie's Chicken Shack moved into Corpus Christi. They were located on Leopard Street across from Miller High School. They built a new stadium out there with government funds and used WPA labor. They served chicken dinners at this time for 35 cents. My wife made pecan pies for Leslie's Chicken Shack and slices of pie that was 5 slices to the pie, sold for 10 cents a slice at that time. But we managed to get by very well. I was employed by Reinrich Motor Company, who was a Studebaker dealer in Corpus Christi. At that time, their main office was in San Antonio, and it remained in business until about 1957, and I believe that was about the year they quit manufacturing Studebakers in the United States. I worked for various automobile agencies through my younger life up until 1941. 1941, we had an international crisis come upon the horizon that we'll always remember as World War II. So I left the automobile agency that I was working for as a salesman at that time, and I had learned the plumbing trade while I was a single man. So I decided to go to the Naval Air Station and go to work with the contractors building the bases in and around Corpus Christi. I did not go out to the Naval Air Station as a plumber. I decided that my opportunities were greater as a stone fitter. Stone fitters and plumbers are both pipe workers, and they both belong to the same union. And the union was Local 185 that was located in Corpus Christi, Texas. I worked as a steam fitter from 1932 until 1934. After we finished the main part of the contract on the Naval Air Station and the outlying fields, I decided to come into the city and go to work as a plumber. So I did. I worked for Acme Plumbing Company, one of the first jobs I had as a plumber in the city of Corpus Christi. It was owned by Mr. Dave Bernstein, and of later Mrs. Minnie Engel. Mr. Engel is still in the city in the real estate business. He also had Engel's Grocery on Peabody Street and the Hillcrest and Leopard Street area. After being employed as a plumber for a very short while, I decided that the opportunity was right to go into business for myself. I made that move in 1945. I went into a partnership, a three-way partnership. We decided that we would do commercial work. So we pursued that type of business. Our first jobs was U.S. Employment Office Building. It was located on Water Street. The building still remains at this time in front of Chippewa Restaurant on Water Street. The next building that we bid was the Western Union Building, and the next one we bid was a wing on the Memorial Hospital, and then we did the Second Baptist Church on Park Avenue. At this time, the residential building was becoming pretty strong. We decided that it would be the time to go into the residential plumbing business. And we made this move. We moved to 1915 South Staples Street. We began to buy vacant lots and to resell them to builders after we got into the residential plumbing market and found it to be profitable as well as good public relations. Then very shortly after that, we found that we had more lots than we needed, so I decided that I would build homes by the speculative market. We had a program that had been in operation for a very short while, what we know as the GI Bill. Veterans could buy homes for no down payment. My first venture into building GI homes was on Hollywood Terrace. We had a number of lots there. We built a five-room home, two bedrooms, one bath, living room, dining room, kitchen with eating space, and a carport. We marketed these homes for $7,500 to $7,900. These houses had approximately 775 square feet of living area. As we continued on in the plumbing business, we continued to grow in the home building business. My wife and I were always together. We worked as a team. She's the best critic that I have. And I suppose I'm the best critic that she has, because we always seem to have a different opinion on what to build or how to decorate. But that's good, because we have two different ideas on everything that we do. We built homes all through the south side of Corpus Christi. Then we thought that the market was right for Portland, Texas. They were building a permanent causeway across the Nueces Bay. They were building the high bridge across the Corpus Christi ship channel to deal away with what we had and is known as the drawbridge. The drawbridge was quite a bottleneck for North Beach and Portland and all of those surrounding areas. Sometimes it takes two and a half hours just to cross the bridge. And people out for Sunday rides sometimes spend as high as 5 hours going to and from North Beach, which is a matter of a mile and a half. So the high bridge and the causeway across the Corpus Christi Bay opened up an entirely new field for suburban living in the Corpus Christi area. I believe the date that this was finished was in 1965, or about that time. We had some houses completed when the bridge was completed, and we sold our inventory almost immediately. So we built more. The population in Portland at that time was 2,500, or what Corpus Christi was after the 1919 hurricane in 1921 was 2,500 population. So in 1973, we're talking about a metropolitan area in Corpus of 205,000. Portland has a population of 7,500. So you see, the housing industry has always been a good business to be in, because we've had a steady normal growth. We built in Portland, Texas from 1965 until 1970. Hurricane Celia hit Corpus Christi, the Portland area, and southwest South Texas area here on August 3rd, 1970. It did quite a bit of damage to both of the communities. We were real fortunate. We had real good insurance programs that the people were using. They imported insurance adjusters from all over the United States, brought them in, and we used the Coliseum in the downtown area, and a number of us builders and other people with knowledgeable experience helped these fellows to acquaint themselves with the type of construction that we have in South Texas. We made a dummy price list so that they would have a guideline to settle their claims with. We recommended that the insurance companies form pools so that we could have additional materials come into Corpus Christi, and then it would be assigned to different lumber companies. The reason for this is that we were trying to keep the price of materials on a realistic market, and it worked real well. For example, the insurance companies made up a pool and had 21 cars of wood shingles delivered into Corpus Christi at one time. So you see, this helped take care of quite a bit of the roofing that was to be did at this time, other than the materials that had been ordered in by the lumber companies themselves. Wood shingles, before Hurricane Sandy in 1970, were selling to the builders at about $21 a square. The price changed in the rebuilding of the homes in this area, raised the prices of shingles to almost $23 a square. So you see, by flooding the market with material, we kept the material prices at an absolute minimum. We had a lot of help come in from other cities, a lot of competent contractors that came in, they camped on the bayfront, they lived wherever they could. They came in and they helped us to rebuild the city of Corpus Christi and Portland back. 12 months after August 3rd, 1970, there was very little evidence of a hurricane in this general vicinity. So you see, people can work together and do a lot of things in a short while. The homes that we were building at that time had approximately 1,900 square feet of floor space in them. The sales price was approximately $25,000 in 1970. In 1971, these houses remain pretty close to the same price level, even though we had quite a housing boom. There were some houses that went up $3,000 probably in that price range, but not very many. Most of them were pretty static in the pricing. We were very fortunate in having a good number of building supply houses in this general vicinity. So we had good competitive prices. Our prices remained pretty well static until 1971, 72. And we began to have a little bit of price increase on all materials. So in 1972, the houses that we were selling for $25,000 all of a sudden became $35,000 homes. So the people that we had sold these homes to were reselling them and repurchasing new homes. 1973, we're going to find real estate as a real handsome product to buy for profit.